And I am going to continue the series on the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to cover an important topic or revelation tonight. Okay, so let's go to the book of John. Now, for your information, Jesus introduced the Holy Spirit in John chapter number 14. From there, he started to speak about the Holy Spirit, and he started to reveal who he is, what he will do, his functionalities, how he will come, how he will teach, and everything. So I had been going verse by verse, and I explained everything that is there in the scripture that Jesus taught about the Holy Spirit to the disciples. Hallelujah. So we are done with the book with the Holy Spirit verses in John chapter number 14, and then we were on John chapter number 16, and we were on verse 13, which says, however, when he the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So the verse number 13 I explained last time. I'm not going to go into that verse number 13 about that the Holy Spirit will not speak on his own authority, but he will speak whatever he hears. I told you what does that means, and he will tell you things to come. We have already covered that, and so tonight we are going to cover verse number 14. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit will do what? He will glorify Jesus, because he will take what is Jesus's and give it to us. He will take what is mine, Jesus says, and not give it to us, sorry, will declare it to you. Okay, anyone here has a KJV version Bible? Anyone here having a KJV version, King James version Bible? Do you have a King James? Yes, read that verse from the King James, verse number 14.
John chapter 1.
John chapter number 16, verse number 14. 1:4:14. If anyone has a KJV version, read John 16, verse 14. Or else let me read it from here. Okay. So, the KJV version says, he shall... Okay, yes. Go ahead.
14. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you.
What does it say? It says, he shall show it unto you. Everyone say, he will show it unto me.
He will show it unto me.
Yes.
Show it unto me.
So, we got to pay careful attention what Jesus is now saying about the Holy Spirit, about one of his functionalities. He is saying that whatever is mine, he will take it and not give it to you. He will show it to you. He will not give it into your hands. He will not give it in your authority. It will not manifest in your life. He will just show it unto you. And what is the meaning of show it unto you? Now, whenever the Holy Spirit is bringing of whatever belongs to Jesus. Now, what belongs to Jesus that the Holy Spirit is going to give us? What do you think? What is of Jesus that the Holy Spirit is going to give you? Now, he is talking about the seven spirits of God that rests upon Jesus. That is what he will take and show it to us. Now, he will not give it to us. The Bible says he will show it to us, because the recipient of the manifestation of the things of Jesus will be given to us when we received When we receive the shown things. Yes. When we receive the things shown to us, then we will become the recipients of the things that he gives to us. Are we understanding until now? Okay, stay with me. That is how the Holy Spirit will minister. Now, this verse is about the ministration of the Holy Spirit to the whole world, not only to believers. But this verse is talking about the ministration of the Holy Spirit to the whole world. You know why we became Christians? We were not Jews who believed in Jehovah God, who were the seed of Abraham physically. But we are Gentiles. Most of us are Gentiles. Maybe all of us are Gentiles. But the reason why we received Jesus is because the Holy Spirit ministered to us and showed us what is of Jesus. We received the shown things. That's why we inherited salvation. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that I told you, he is the one that witnesses Christ in the earlier sermons. It says, he will witness me. He will testify of me, Jesus says. So the Holy Spirit is the evangelist. He is the one who witnesses Christ. And the way he witnesses Christ to the hearts of men is by taking of what is Jesus's and giving it to people, showing it to people. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. Now this verse is talking about what? It is talking about the ministration of the Holy Spirit to the whole world. Now, before going to that, God does not give you directly. First, he shows you, he reveals to you by his Spirit the things he wants to give you. He will never give you directly. If he wants to make you a millionaire, he will not make you a millionaire. He will not give you money to make you a millionaire. What he will do is, he will show you his word. When you receive his word, then that word that you received and became a recipient of will make you a millionaire. As per his will. Are we understanding? If you want a car, and that is also what God wants to give you. He will not give you a car. A car will not drop in your life. The money will not directly come. He will first show you the word. When you believe that word, that the manifestation of the very word that you received and believe and you have faith on will birth the blessing of God in your life. That is how God functions. We got to understand that. God is not one who will drop things in your bosom, will drop things in your hands. Oh, receive this, receive that. No, he is not a giver of material things. He is a shower and revealer of spiritual things. Yes, you got, hallelujah. Are you understanding? You got to understand this God you know, God you believe. He is not the one who will give you material things. Okay, you want this? I will give you cash. No, it's not like that. He is not a giver of material things. He is a revealer of spiritual things. And when the things revealed to you, shown to you, you become a recipient of those things and have faith in it, the blessings will manifest through your faith. The blessings will manifest through your faith that you believed and received the things that were shown to you. I am explaining the way this God functions, the God we serve, the Jehovah God, the maker of heaven and earth, because from that context we can draw the meaning and revelation of the ministration of the Holy Spirit to the whole world. Okay, so what did I say? He will show it to you. That is how God functions. He shows it to you. He will not give to you. He will show it to you. Now, when I was praying, what I found out and what the Lord told me is people of God, believers, have a high tendency to believe and to listen to the devil rather than to God. What? Believers, people of God, even here, have a high tendency to listen to the devil and believe the devil rather than to listen to God. The reason is because the communication of the devil and the communication of God is different. Both of them communicate in different ways. The devil speaks a lot. You got to understand that the devil is the best salesman, the best spirit being salesman, not a human salesman. He's a spirit being. The devil is the best salesman. He can, even if you don't want to buy a product, if you listen to the devil, he will make you buy that product. That is the way he speaks. The way the devil communicates to people, listen to me very carefully what I'm saying. The way the devil communicates to people, he uses a lot of words because he wants to convince you. Even as much as he can sit you with you on your sofa or at the coffee table, and he can stay with you the whole day to convince you, to speak to you. He uses a lot of words and makes you feel good about his offer, makes you feel good about what he is speaking. He wants to please you in your flesh. That is how the devil is. But on contrary, on the other hand, God is not a speaker of many words. God speaks once. The reason why believers listen to the devil more than that of God's word and God's voice, I'm not only talking about Bible study, I'm talking about his voice. I'm talking about his Rhema voice. The reason why we are attracted to listen and believe the devil and not to God, because the human tendency and the tendency of the flesh is attracted to a person or to an entity who can please us with many words and who can give us assurance, guarantee, no, this will happen, that will happen, don't worry, I will, you know, there was a pastor. And this pastor was ministering in a village. And he called for people to come to the altar near the stage to pray for them. When they came to the altar, the Holy Spirit revealed to the pastor, out of those 150, 200 people, 90% of them were witches. Came to destroy the crusade. So when the Holy Spirit told the pastor that, he raised his hand to release the fire. To release the fire, either to torment them, to lead them to repentance, or to throw them out. So when he raised his hands, the devil came on the stage. And the devil said, wait, man of God, wait. And the devil told him, you know, don't destroy my servants, the witches. Don't destroy them. You know, make a deal with me. Man of God, make a deal with me. And what the deal is, I had a plan. You know what? I had a plan. After you do this crusade and drive back to your hotel room, I was going to kill you on your way. So, you leave my people. You don't kill my people. And I will leave you when you go back. Is that a good deal? So, the pastor thought and he agreed with the devil. He agreed with the devil. See, the devil is using many words because he wants to convince you to get a deal, to strike a deal with him. So he is giving assurances. He is giving guarantees. God is not, does not speak like that. God does not give, he speaks one line and he will not give any explanation to you about it. He will not give any guarantees to you about it. You just got to have faith in that sentence he spoke to you and move ahead with him. But the devil, he said to the pastor, don't kill my witches. Don't kill them. And I can make a deal with you. If you leave my people, if you leave my servants, the witches, I will leave you on your way back to the hotel and I will not kill you. So the pastor accepted the deal of the devil and he disobeyed God. He did not do anything to the witches. He completed the crusade and he was driving back to his hotel room. When he was driving back to the hotel room, the devil got into his car and took hold of the steering. to move it in a direction to make him meet with an accident and kill him. And when the devil came, he said, the pastor said, "Oh devil, you told you will leave me?" And the devil told him, didn't you know about me, man of God, that I am a liar? Didn't you know about me, I am a liar? Some people think that if they leave the devil alone, the devil will leave them alone. That is a lie. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, I am speaking the truth to you. This teachings that I am giving, the deep things about God, many Christians don't invite me for such teachings because they think if they go more deeper with God, the devil will give them trouble. So they leave the devil alone. They don't do spiritual warfare. They think that, oh, the life is, Christian life is the best life ever. And that is what they are taught by some pastors. So they go to those pastors who have built a mega church so that they can teach them that Christian life is a convenient life. Once you accept Jesus, nothing will come against you. That's the lie of the devil. The devil was able to convince them in a lie, but the devil is a liar. And the devil came to the pastor and he took hold of the steering to kill him, to make his car meet with an accident. And he said, "Oh devil, didn't you make a deal with him?" And he said, "Man of God, did you know I am a liar?" Hallelujah. The one who tries to convince you and speak the spirit that is speaking many words to you, trying to convince you into something, don't believe that devil. But on the contrary, God is not like that. God is like he will come and say, do this and pray like this for the people, and he will leave. He will not give you any explanations or any guarantee or any assurances or any evidences that when you obey him, things will happen like this or that. He will not speak. God speaks once. God speaks less. He is not a person with whom you can do a WhatsApp chat. Oh God, you know, I did this. What will happen? Now, do you assure me? Is this your guarantee? No, that is not how God functions. He speaks once. Until the time you don't obey that word, the next word will not open for you. He will not appear again to you. I know God because I have met with him. He came to me. He met with me many times. And I know how he speaks. He does not speak much. He will speak either the most I heard from him when he comes to me is two sentences, not more than that. He will not even explain to me for me to understand. He will just say what he wants to say and he will leave. And then I have to sit with the Holy Spirit and pray in the Spirit to understand the utterance that he gave to me. When he spoke to Abraham, he did not speak, "Oh Abraham, I will, you know, you need to leave your father and mother. You need to leave your property. I will assure you, Abraham, and guarantee you, you will have some riches. I will make you rich and you will go here and this big you will become in your seed." No. He just came and told me, "Abraham, leave your kindred, leave your family, and I will make you a father of many nations." No explanations. He speaks once. He does not, because you know why he speaks less? Because his word is truth. His word is truth. Be understanding. Someone who comes to you with a lie will use many words to convince you. But if a person speaks truth, his words will be less. He will just say what he wants to say. And then that's it. He will never convince you because he knows what he is saying is the truth. Hallelujah. Amen. When you start to serve God, when you start to believe, there will be many people around you who will gather other people to come against you. But don't worry, if you are truthful and faithful to God, and if you are on the right, don't try to go to anyone to convince that you are right. The truth will set you free. That is God. He is not interested in convincing you for anything. He will just show it to you. He's not a spirit that will force things on you. The devil does it by convincing you. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. The devil speaks more, giving explanations and convincing But God speaks once and less because his word is truth. His word is truth. So, hallelujah. That is, and then the second point is, humanly and in the flesh, the devil's communication is likely to be accepted by us than that of God. Yes. Many people sitting here who are Christians from 20 years, from 25 years, don't even know the way God communicates, because all their lives they had been listening to the devil. Many people hear the word here and then they leave the meeting and they continue to listen to the devil. That's why your life is in the same place. Your life is not moving ahead in God. And then you want to search for anointed prophets, anointed pastors, so that they can pray and you can get the breakthrough. But so many people are praying, so many pastors you went, still you don't have the breakthrough, because all your life you are listening to the devil, who is keeping on convincing you. You have not tapped into the voice of God. The way he communicates is different from that of devil. Amen. God is a God who will just show to you his promise. Hallelujah. He will not speak much. He will not convince you. He will not speak again and again. You know, like on WhatsApp. Oh, please confirm, God. You know, oh, yesterday you gave me the word, but today, you know, everything is happening opposite to the word you gave me. Can you confirm the word again? Day after tomorrow, can you confirm the word again? God speaks once. That is the problem believers have. Once he has spoken, it is confirmed. Don't try to seek for confirmation again and again. Oh God, listen to me. If you want to master hearing the voice of God and walking in it, you need to practice the voice of God. You need to practice the voice of God. The reason I can hear the voice of God clearly and communicate it to people. You know, even if I pray for people, I know the Lord, what is the word of the Lord. I am not in two minds. Even if the people say, no, it is not like that. But I know what God is speaking to me is true, even if people reject it. And afterwards, they would come to me and say, Brother Rahul, I did not say it in front of everyone, but you know, it was like that. I know the word of God. I know the voice of God. You know why? It's not a gift, but it's by practice. It's by practice. In this young age, the reason why I understand the voice of God so clearly and can discern between the soul and the spirit, can discern between the flesh and the spirit, can discern between the voice of the devil and the voice of God, can discern between the voice of the flesh and the voice of the spirit. The reason I am able to do that, because I practiced hearing and understanding the characteristics of the voice of God and the way he speaks, and practicing it and obeying it. Hallelujah. Amen. People of God, are you there on this line? Remove your mute and say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Listen. People, you read the Bible. You come to the prayer meeting. You are praying. I accept that. But you never heard God, because you did not practice hearing God. Even if God speaks to you, because you had been accustomed to listening to the devil, the voice of God is nullified. It is made of no effect in your life. And then on the third day, you think, oh, maybe my mind spoke to me. You are not able to make a segregation and a discernment that it was God, because we have not practiced hearing this God. We have not practiced his presence. We need to practice hearing the voice. We need to practice his presence for us to be familiar with the voice of God. But you know what? 90% of Christians are familiar with the voice of a familiar demonic spirit that had been following them and speaking to them from their birth, from their childhood, from many years. And he comes to you, he gives you explanations, he gives you assurances and this and that and all those things. And you had been made so familiar with that familiar spirit. That is called a familiar spirit, with whom people have become familiar with, accustomed with. My God, hallelujah. Amen. There was this woman who had a familiar spirit following her and speaking to her all her life, who came in a meeting led by an anointed apostle. So this familiar spirit used to speak to this woman, and the woman, whatever she hears from the Holy, from the familiar spirit, she would say, I am hearing from the Holy Spirit. Because she became so familiar and she thought, this spirit speaking to me is the Holy Spirit, is the voice of God. So she came in this meeting of this anointed apostle. And by the Spirit of the Lord, the apostle located the woman and said, this is the woman, this is her problem, and this is the name. This woman with this name, come forward. And when she wanted to go forward, the Spirit spoke to her, don't go, he is not a servant of God, he is the devil, don't go there. But however, she came there and she confessed and said that, the servant of God asked her, why you are so hesitant to come? And the woman said, because the Holy Spirit is telling me not to come to you. You are not a servant of God. And the apostle said, oh, is it? The Holy Spirit is speaking to you that? He said, okay, do one thing. Lady, do one thing. If that is the Holy Spirit, you cannot shut him up. So try to tell to that spirit, shut up in Jesus' name. If he shuts up, that spirit is not the Holy Spirit. So the woman said, you shut up in Jesus' name. And then the servant of God asked her, do you hear the voice now? Do you hear anything? And the woman said, I am feeling light. I am not hearing anything. And the servant of God explained to her, it was a spirit that was speaking to you, counterfeiting the Holy Spirit. It was not the Holy Spirit that you were following. And this is the spirit that was keeping you away from servants of God who would be able to deliver you. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you know spirits are following you that you are getting, you have already got accustomed and familiar with them, that when you are in relationship with the person, when you are in the fellowship where God has destined you to be, those at that point or after some time, those spirits will start to speak to you. Oh no, don't speak to those person. Go away from them. Leave them. Oh see, they are offensive to you. They will start to manipulate you to break your relationship with them, because they are getting tormented when you are in fellowship with them. Like this woman who came to the meeting. I am telling you, hallelujah, hallelujah. So, the human tendency and the tendency of our flesh is to listen and believe the devil. Because he's, you know, we like salesmen who can sit with us, explain the product, give us offers, show us benefits, give us guarantee, give us cashbacks, give us assurance. We like that salesman. We like that thing. But and when we are in the flesh, we like those things. But in the spirit, it's different. In the spirit, no explanation, no guarantees, nothing. Just he will show you his word. He will reveal his word to you. He will speak less. He will speak once. And you got to put that, you got to receive it and stay on the word by faith and walk in it. This is God I'm talking about. Hallelujah. I came to that because I want to explain you what the Holy Spirit does. He shows the things of Jesus. He will not give you. He will just show it to you once. Hallelujah. The things of Jesus. Okay, let me show you. See, Genesis chapter number 2. The communication, the difference between the communication of God and the communication of the devil. There is a difference. Genesis chapter number 2. Let's go first to Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. That's it. That is the word. God spoke Every tree you can eat, but that tree don't eat, because if you eat it, you will die. Not even explanation of what kind of death he will die. God was talking about his spirit being taken away from him. No explanation to Adam, no explanation, because God will not give explanation. When a word comes to you, if you don't, you will not understand it, because you are in the mind, in the flesh. Then you feed on the word, then you pray, and then you understand the meaning. The reason why Eve now fell into sin, because Adam did not communicate the word given to him with revelation. That's why that is the topic that the serpent took out and said, "Will you really die? You shall not die." Now, the devil is talking about the physical death, but God was talking about his spirit being taken away from Adam, spiritual death. Because the definition of death in the books of heaven is a person who does not have the spirit of God. The person is dead. That is the death. And here is the death. So when the word is not communicated to you with revelation, if there is a church and all you are learning in that church is theology, no revelation from the Holy Spirit, that church has 100% chances that the devil will deceive them, because what they are receiving is theology. What they are receiving is knowledge that puffs up. What they are receiving is human knowledge, human wisdom. No revelation from the Spirit, no mystery in through the preaching of the word. So Adam was the first pastor in the Bible. And the first sermon God gave to him, that do not eat the fruit of the tree. If you eat it, you will die. But this pastor failed to communicate. And this pastor was a pastor to his wife in his family. So he failed to communicate the word with revelation. Are we understanding? Genesis chapter number 3. Let's go there. Now this is hardly one word, one sentence, one verse that God spoke. It's 16 and 17, but half of the word of 16 is, "And the Lord commanded the man, saying," it's just one verse, kind of compact, the word of God to Adam, the instruction. Now see what the devil speaks now. Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 1 onwards. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Oh my God, such a big conversation. You see the difference? There God speaks once, no explanations added to it. Here, the devil is striking a whole communication. There are verse 1 to verse 5, and then it goes on. The devil speaks a lot. When words are less, sin is less, the Bible says. Because when words are more, sin will be more. Because that's the characteristic, that's the characteristic of the devil. He speaks a lot. He speaks a lot. When you compare Genesis chapter number 2, 16 and 17, and Genesis chapter number 3, 1 to 5 and onwards, you will see God speaks less and the devil speaks so much. And he's interested in speaking with you. He's interested in having a conversation with you. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. This revelation that I am communicating, you don't even know, it is setting you free from the deception of the devil. Hallelujah. When you understand what I am speaking to you, teaching you. Amen. So that is one of the evidences in the scripture. There are many more, but I don't have time. I have to go to the ministration of the Holy Spirit to the world. So God will show you things. Holy Spirit will show you the things of Jesus. Let's come back there now. Once we have understood this concept of the difference between the communication of the devil and the communication of God, let us go back to John chapter number 16. John chapter number 16. Now, does everyone has a notepad here? take a fresh page on your notepad. You will need the whole page. Okay, I will tell you what to do with that page. So whenever you come for the meeting, and even when you go to your secret place, remember the basics of carrying a pen and a diary and a notepad, because revelations cannot be stored in your mind. It has to be stored on the paper. Yes, it has to be stored on the paper by writing on it. Remember the book of Revelation, what Jesus said to John when he was describing what is going to happen in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. He said, whatever you see and whatever you hear, write it down. Write it down. Many Christians are not growing in the Lord because they come to the church without a notepad and a pen. That is a simple thing, but you are not growing because you think it's just preaching. I will come, sit there, and I will remember, and that's it. Ah, you are not going to grow. You got to take a pen and note things down. Okay, have a fresh page ready with you. And let me go to the book of John. Let me go to the book of John, chapter number 16. So, it says, chapter number 16, verse number 14. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and show it unto you. That is what King James Version says. Show it unto you. What did I say? What is of Jesus, he will take it and show it unto you. What is of Jesus that he will take? It is the seven spirits of Jesus. He's talking about that. Okay? It's not riches, it's not money. It's because Jesus does not operate in material wealth. Many people, oh, the Bible says he will take what is of Jesus and give it to me. The wealth of Jesus, the money and this and that and the car. Jesus does not have all those things. Jesus does not operate in material wealth. We got to understand context rather than getting excited by the flesh in the so-called prophetic flow that people talk about. That is not the true interpretation of the word. The interpretation is the seven spirits of Jesus he will take and show it unto you. And that is how he will minister to the world. Now let me come to a scripture that you will not find the interpretation in any Bible commentary. Is the scripture that many have speculated on in John chapter number 16. John chapter number 16. Verse number 8 onwards. I've already explained verse number 7, that when Jesus will go, then the Holy Spirit will come, how that will happen and all those things. So I'm not going into verse 7. I'm starting from verse number 8. John chapter number 16, verse number 8. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of the world is judged. Have you ever understood the meaning of this word? Today, you will understand it in detail. Hallelujah. So, this is the ministration of the Holy Spirit to the world, to every person in the world. This is the verse about it. And that is how even we came to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, because the Holy Spirit ministered to us. Now, what I want you to do is make three columns on the first page. One, two, three. Three columns on the fresh page. On the fresh page. Three columns like this. You see this? One, two, three. Like this. Three columns like this. Make three columns on your fresh page. When you are done making the three columns, on the top, write the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the world. That is what you have to write on the top. The ministry of the Holy Spirit to the world. When you are done writing that, the heading of the first column, the title of the first column is John chapter number 16, verse number 8 to 11. That is the title of the first column. Write it down. John 16, verse 8 to 11. John 16, verse 8 to 11. The title of the second column is Isaiah 11, verse number 2. Isaiah 11, verse number 2. The title of the third column is 2 Kings, chapter number 4, verse 1 onwards. Many verses there. So these are the three columns. Okay. These are the three columns. And under the title in the first column, in John, where you wrote John chapter 16, write down conviction by the Holy Spirit. Conviction by the Holy Spirit under the title. Okay. It's a part of the title. In Isaiah 11:2, write seven spirits of Jesus. That is what he will give it to us. Okay. And under 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 1, write down application. Application. Are we clear? So, let me start off with the first point. Okay. When I say the first point, I will tell you what is in the first column. John chapter 16. The first point is the conviction of sin. He will convict the world of sin. Okay. He will convict the world of sin. And that is verse number 9 in the first column. Conviction of sin. Write it down. So, here it says verse number 9. Of sin, convict the world of sin. Verse number 9. Because they do not believe in me. They do not believe in me. The way he will convict the world of sin is turn with me to Isaiah 11 verse 2. So we have to be on these three columns, the scripture. Isaiah verse chapter number 11 verse number 2. Isaiah chapter number 11 verse number 2. It says, the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding. What is the spirit of wisdom and understanding? The spirit of wisdom and understanding, write it down. The first point is conviction of sin. In the second column, along the first point, is the spirit of wisdom and understanding. What is the spirit of wisdom and understanding? What is the spirit of wisdom and understanding? The spirit of wisdom and understanding is actually the eyes of God. Is actually the perspective of God. That is the spirit of wisdom and understanding. So first of all, when he will go to an unbeliever in the world, he has heard the gospel. Many pastors told him, someone in the college told him, I believe in Jesus. Jesus is the true God. But he did not receive Christ until the Holy Spirit came to convict him of sin. Conviction of sin is the showing forth or revealing of the spirit of wisdom and understanding. The spirit of wisdom and understanding is that God, in his wisdom and in his understanding, his perspective about you is you are a sinner and you need his son Jesus Christ for you to be saved. That is the spirit of wisdom and understanding. That is the perspective of God. Are we understanding now? So, the Holy Spirit would minister to the world in steps. He will not go to the unbeliever and release the mystery of God. But first, what the step he will take is conviction of sin, the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and understanding is the eyes of God, the perspective of God, the wisdom and understanding of God of who you are. As per God, right now in this state, you are a sinner. You are not eligible to have a relationship with him, and you need his only begotten son who died for you to have a relationship, for you to have a relationship with him. That is the perspective of God, the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Are we understanding? So write down in your, you wrote down in your first column, conviction of sin. Second is spirit of wisdom and understanding. The way he will convict you of sin is bringing the spirit of Jesus. Hallelujah. The two spirit, spirit of wisdom and spirit of understanding. I'm explaining you the verse that says he will take what is of mine and he will show it unto you. The first thing he will show it unto you is wisdom and understanding. Spirit of wisdom and understanding. What it is? It is The spirit of wisdom and understanding will teach you to love the things what God loves and give you God's perspective. The spirit of wisdom and understanding will teach you to love the things that God loves and give you the perspective of God. Hallelujah. Now, listen. What did I say? He will show it to you. He will not give it to you. When you receive the spirit of wisdom and understanding by the conviction of your sin, that you are a sinner, you will develop the gift or the unction that the spirit of wisdom and understanding releases. You cannot be saved automatically. You have to receive the conviction of sin that the Holy Spirit is bringing to you. And when you receive the conviction of sin, what will come upon you is this unction of the Spirit of Jesus. What is the Spirit of Jesus? Wisdom and understanding. And as soon as you receive Jesus by conviction of your sin, I am a sinner, I need you, Lord. Please forgive me, cleanse me by your blood. Something will come to you, is the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. And what will start to happen to you is, you used to go around with those friends who used to smoke. Now you have a different eye and different perspective. You say, I cannot go with them because it's a sin. That is the first stage of Christian life. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. People of God, are we together? Apart from those on the screen, remove your mute and say amen. Hallelujah. Stay with me. Remove your mute and say amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen. Listen to me. When the Holy Spirit will show to you, convict you of sin. When you receive it, He will show you the things of Jesus, convict you of sin by showing forth that you can receive the wisdom and understanding. And when you receive the conviction, the spirit of wisdom and understanding will be released to you that time. And what wisdom and understanding will do is give you the your perspective will change. You will lose friends. You will lose close acquaintances. You will lose those whom you used to love because a different perspective. You were sitting with those who used to smoke cigarettes. You say, no, I cannot go, because the wisdom and understanding came upon you. What wisdom and understanding will do with you, it will help you to live a life pleasing to God. It will help you to understand and differentiate between what is holy and what is unholy as per God. What is sin and what is impure and what is pure as per God. Because in the flesh, many people, drinking alcohol is not a sin, you know. Where it's written in the Bible, smoking cigarettes is not a sin, you know. Because they have not received the spirit of conviction. They don't have even the first stage of wisdom and understanding. But a person who has wisdom and understanding will have the wisdom of God to differentiate between the holy and the unholy. To differentiate that this is sin, this is not pleasing to God, and this is pleasing to God. So the spirit of wisdom and understanding will help a new believer to live a life where they are overcoming sin and living in consecration and sanctification to their God. That is the first stage of the ministration of the Holy Spirit. That is the first thing he will do. Release the spirit of wisdom and understanding by the acceptance of the conviction of sin. Are we understanding now? Okay. The third column is empty. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter number 4. This is the third column, first point. 2 Kings chapter number 4. The application or the revelation now. The application will come in the next points now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Second Kings chapter number 4 and verse number 1. Let's read verse number 2. We don't have time. Verse number 2. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere. Okay, stop there. Now, you remember this story where this widow lady who lost her husband was in debts not knowing what to do. And Elisha came and helped her because she asked for help. Now, Elisha is not operating in gifts of the Holy Spirit. Elisha is operating in the seven spirits of God. The first thing that he developed to look at the situation is the perspective of God. Now, the woman who had debts was so anxious and worried because she was not understanding, how will I clear the debts? Otherwise, they will take my sons. Those people whom I owe the debts, they will take my sons. How will I clear the debts? I don't have money. But when Elisha said, you have to something to clear the debts. She said, what? I don't have anything. Elisha said, what do you have? And her mind went to the jar of oil that she ignored. That was the perspective of God, the wisdom and understanding that locates something that you are unaware of. When the Holy Spirit came to you to convict you of sin, you were unaware till now that you are a sinner, worthy to go to hell. But when the Holy Spirit came to you, he gave you wisdom and understanding and made you locate something that you are not seeing in you, that you are your biggest enemy. Yourself, your wickedness, your heart is deceptive above all. The sin is in you. That is the perspective of God, the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Are we understanding? Let me come again. Some of you, oh God, hallelujah. Now, let me tell it to you again. When Elisha came to the woman, she was so worried because she did not know how to pay the debts. But she had something in her through which she could clear the debts. That could solve the problem. And Elisha said, what is that? The jar of oil. Hallelujah. So the spirit of wisdom and understanding locates in you something that you are unaware of. And that is what the spirit, the first column, conviction of sin. The second column, wisdom and understanding. The third column, locating who you are by the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Who I am? I am a sinner. I am worthy. That if I am evaluated by my own life and works, I am worthy to go to hell. Nothing less than that. That is what I need, a savior. I need a savior. Hallelujah. I don't know how these preachers can preach the gospel without preaching sin. Because if there is no sin, there is no salvation. That is what the Holy Spirit will do. He will convict a person of sin, release wisdom and understanding that will locate the sin. Till the time I did not know Christ, I thought I was the best person. I was the handsome man and any girl I can get and all those things. But when Holy Spirit convicted me and brought wisdom and understanding of God, I understood I am the worst person. I deserve hell and I need Jesus for my life. Okay, are we clear on that? So the first point in the three columns is done. Shall we go to the next one? Okay. That's why. Now, do you understand John chapter number 16, the first part of it, verse number 9? What it says, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness and judgment. I talked about convict the world of sin and the conviction of convicting the world of sin because they don't believe in me. So for them to believe in me, I have to convict them of sin. And how will I convict them of sin? By the Holy Spirit taking of the wisdom and understanding and showing it to them. If they accept it, they will understand that by believing not in me, they are sinning. So they need me. That is the meaning of verse number 9. He will convict the world of sin because they do not believe in me. Okay, are we done with the first point? Let's go to the second one. Now, let's go to the second one. The second one is verse number 10. Convict of righteousness. Convict of what? Righteousness. Because I go to my Father and you see me no more. What is the meaning of that now? Now, the second point in the first column is conviction of righteousness. verse 10. Write it down, the second point. Oh God, hallelujah. The second point is what? Conviction of righteousness in the first column. In the second column, write down spirit of counsel and might. Now, spirit of counsel and might. The second level of the ministration of the Holy Spirit. Counsel and might. What does counsel, the spirit of counsel and might do? What is the functionality of the spirit of counseling and might, power? Okay. What does the spirit do? Amen. Now, you are a Christian now who has received the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Okay. And you have developed a perspective of God. You are going to the church now. You have joined a church. You are reading your Bible. You are praying because you accepted the conviction of sin. You know, I should not fellowship with such people. I used to drink alcohol. I used to have smoking and all those things. I left those things because the spirit of wisdom and understanding has taught you how to abstain from sin, how to hate the things that God hates, how to love the things that God loves. That is what you are doing. Now, this holy, sanctified, consecrated life, what you have to do with the life? Even after you have developed an attitude to do what pleases God, as per the scripture, and stay away from sin. The second stage is, what will happen with this life? The spirit, the conviction of righteousness is the conviction of counsel and might to show you the way and the destiny that you are supposed to move towards. Many people became Christians by receiving the conviction of sin and accepting wisdom and understanding. And they are going to the church, they are reading their Bible. But when the conviction of righteousness came and God told them, you shall not work that 12-hour job. My plan is a different plan for you. Leave that job and do this that I am calling you to do. And when the Lord tells, that is the conviction of righteousness. Conviction of righteousness is what now you are supposed to do with your consecrated life. That is the conviction of righteousness. Remember, I taught you the meaning of righteousness. Hallelujah. The Bible says that when Jesus went to John, I don't have time to go there now. When Jesus went to John the Baptist and to be baptized, John said to Jesus, "Oh, I am not worthy to baptize you now. You know, I am supposed to be baptized. I cannot baptize you because I know who you are." But the Bible says, Jesus said to him, "Permit it to be so now, so that we may fulfill all righteousness." What is the meaning of that? That means Jesus is more than his own title and office. He is giving preference to the written scroll of God that the Lord wrote about him. All the Gospel of Matthew, especially, whatever was happening, Matthew was giving its scripture written already in the Old Testament. Jesus did this because it was written about him like this. Jesus did this because it was written about it, him like this. The conviction of righteousness is to take your consecrated life in the right path of God and push you and make you walk towards your destiny and the path of God. I told you my story. I wanted to become a Navy officer, earn a lot of money, travel on the ships and go to places, go to nations. And that even I accepted Christ at that time. But my agenda was different until I received the conviction of righteousness, that is the spirit of counsel and the spirit of might to empower me to walk on the path of God. That is the second stage of the ministration of the Holy Spirit. Are we understanding? You know, many Christians, we can segregate Christians in different levels. There is the first level. There are Christians who have accepted Jesus. They know what is sin. They know what is holy and unholy. They know how to go to the church. But they have now become 45 years old, but still have not received the conviction of righteousness. They are in a place where God does not want them to be. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? And tonight I want you to evaluate your life in which level you stand, whether you are in the conviction of sin or whether you have proceeded to the conviction of righteousness and now you are walking on the path of God. Conviction of righteousness. Are we together? Are we understanding? Okay, listen. Now, the second point in the first column is conviction of righteousness. The second point in the second column is spirit of counsel and might. I explained you that. Okay, all right. The third thing is, let us go to 2 Kings chapter number 4. The third column, second point, third column. Second Kings chapter number 4. Again, let's go there. So we were already on that scripture. We know what is happening. Elisha located something that the woman was unaware of. The jar of oil. Okay, are we understanding? 2 Kings chapter number 4. So after that, what he said? Verse number 3. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. Empty vessels, do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So this is the spirit of counsel and might. You located the jar of oil. Now you will not move ahead to clear your debts if you just keep the jar of oil like that. You got to use it. You got to put it to use. That is the conviction of righteousness. That I chose you. You received the conviction that you are a sinner. You received my son Jesus as your savior. You have the wisdom and understanding now to discern between the holy and unholy. You are living a consecrated life. Now let my Holy Spirit convict you of righteousness. Put you into the use. Hallelujah. We are vessels, not just to be kept for show on the shelf. We have to be usable. The conviction of righteousness is putting vessels to use. Hallelujah. And that is the spirit of counsel and might. Counsel you to show you the path. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding now? That is the second point. Conviction of righteousness is leading of what to do with your redeemed life. Write it down. Conviction of righteousness is the leading by the Holy Spirit of what to do with your redeemed life. Tonight, I want you to realize that you had been going to the church reading your Bible, but have you received the conviction of righteousness, the Holy Spirit giving you counsel and might, the understanding and the teaching of what you need to do with your redeemed life? You cannot be your own and do your own. Hallelujah. I know many of the people who were chosen at the age of 19, 20, 21, 22, at that age. But what they did is followed the patterns laid by their organizational church. Amen. See, I'm telling these things for you to understand practically so that you can obey God and please Him to the fullest and fulfill the purpose of God in your life. Okay? And for the purpose of teaching, I'm using this because when I was 21, the prophet in my church and the pastor heard from the Lord that I am going to be a servant of God. I am going to be an evangelist, come pastor and an apostle. And at the age of 21, they told it to me. The prophet came and told, do you know, Rahul? I came out of the church and the prophet told me, do you know you are chosen? And I cried there at the age of 21. And the pastor told me. So the pastor said, you know, I and the prophet have discussed and the pattern of the church I was growing in was anyone who is not married cannot be a leader. But at the age of 24, my life broke the pattern in the church. They had to ordain me as a leader in the church, led by the Holy Spirit. And when I was ordained as a leader at 24, the pastor told me, now that you are a leader, now that we have told you what God has for you, come for counseling sessions. I said, great pastor, I would love to have counseling sessions. And I went to him for counseling session. And in the counseling session, the pastor laid out a pattern for me. He said, see, this is what you have to do with your life, Rahul. At the age, now you got a good job. Start to invest in mutual funds, and by the age 26, 27, gather money to buy a house and gather money to get married. At 27, when you get married, have children. By 29, we will make you a pastor. So he laid down a pattern for me. It was sounding interesting. It was sounding convenient. It was sounding comfortable. But unfortunately, that was not from God. And that is not what God had for me. His conviction of righteousness was different. And that's why I am single yet, because I was called for a consecrated apostolic ministry. Different people are called in different ways. And from the beginning, though I did not know everything, I learned by time as I walked with God. The things I teach now, I did not know it then. But I knew by conviction of righteousness that I am called for an apostolic ministry. In the church, whenever the parents, the ladies have to send their girls, their daughters, they would first ask the pastor whether Rahul is going. If I am going, they will send their daughters. That was the kind of character I had from the beginning, because I was called for the apostolic ministry. I did not hang around with girls in the church proposing them and telling them, oh, let's go for a date and for a coffee, finding out whom I can marry. But I knew that I was not supposed to do that. Because different people are called in different assignments. And only the conviction of righteousness can reveal that to you. The spirit of counsel and might, when you receive that. Now, what I'm saying is, people in the church who had a mighty calling at the age of 21, I have seen them grow now 50, 45. I prayed for a person, I prayed for that man who was around 48 years old. He has two kids, he's doing a job, and I prayed one fine day, he came to me and he opened his old diary, and he showed me. He told Rahul, the way you operate now makes me remember of how I was in my young age. But I destroyed my calling by getting married, having children, investing in mutual funds, buying a house. Oh God. Hallelujah. Amen. If God wants to use you, He will prepare you in this age of 19 to 30. And if you have taken decisions by the conviction of the Holy Spirit in the age of 19 to 30, the rest of your life till you die will be beautiful. Amen. I don't even know if the young people here who are at that age, take the convictions of the Holy Spirit seriously. Amen. I used to earn, I told you about my testimony, how I was not even a graduate, I got a job. Hallelujah. And after I got a job, I started to have a salary up. God told me, leave the job. Conviction of the pathway that God wanted to push me. If I became comfortable there and said, no, I am getting so much of salary, how can I leave this job? What will happen to me? But I received the things the Holy Spirit, what is of Jesus, He will take and show it to you. Are we understanding, people of God? Show it to you. Conviction of righteousness. The first conviction, okay, good, you received it. Conviction of righteousness is not easy to receive. He will tell you to sacrifice things. He will tell you to, if you are comfortable somewhere, He will tell, okay, get off from you and go there. Conviction of righteousness, spirit of counsel and might. Okay, are we understanding the second point now? Shall we go to the third one? Let's go to the third point. So, the third point, John chapter number 16. Let's go back to the scripture. John chapter number 16. Verse number 11. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Conviction of judgment. Now what? After you are walking in the path of God, you are moving towards your destiny of God. What is the conviction of judgment? People would think, oh, I am walking now conviction of righteousness. I received counsel and might, and I'm walking in the path of God towards the destiny of God. What? Why judgment? Why judgment? The conviction of judgment, write down in the third point, first column. The conviction of judgment is the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of God. I will explain you. Stay with me. What? The knowledge and of the fear of God. That is the second column. Third point. Okay, let's go to the third column. That is 2 Kings chapter number 4, verse number 7. 2 Kings chapter number 4, verse number 7. Verse number 7, what it says? Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. What is the meaning of that? After you start to walk by the conviction of righteousness on the pathway of God, moving towards the destiny of God, anybody who is walking in righteousness, any person who is living in righteousness and walking in the pathway of God, he will become great. You are going to, enemies can't help it. Many will try to pull you down. But if you are walking in the path of God, do you know you are going to become a great woman? You are going to become a great man. And you are going to have riches. You are going to have honor from people. You are going to have blessing. You are going to have many things. God will bless you. Conviction of judgment is when you receive living righteously for God, when you start to receive from Him riches and honor and blessing, the spirit of conviction of judgment will come to you, directing you on how to use it. How to use it. Are we understanding, people of God? How to use it. You would not fall into sin when you were poor, but when you are rich and you are receiving things, there are high chances that you will fall into sin. So listen to me. Knowledge and fear of the Lord is to use and direct our lives from the greatness achieved by righteousness. That is how Abraham prospered and stayed with God until the end. First, it was the conviction of sin, conviction of righteousness. He started to walk in the path of God. And then when he received from God the seed, Isaac, he was ready to use that gift as per the will of God. That was the conviction of judgment. That is the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Are we understanding? Many people have gone through the first stage. They became Christians. They started to hate sin, love righteousness, and started to live consecrated lives. Then they also received the conviction of righteousness. They understood this is the path of God. I will leave everything else and walk in the path. Okay? And when they started to walk in that path, and by time, when they became great, they did not receive the conviction of judgment and of the that brings the fear of the Lord. Are we understanding? David did not fall into adultery and did not murder when he was in the caves of Adullam. He fell into adultery when he was in the palace and he had everything. He had victory. He had the palace. He had the servants. There he fell into sin. Because there in the palace, when God lifts us up and the nations comes to us and we receive honor, we receive the wealth, we receive everything, there the devil manipulates us to fall. And there the Holy Spirit comes to convict us of judgment. You see, you were a shepherd boy. It is God who made you a king. Remember that. Continue in the fear of the Lord. He will take what is of mine and show it unto you. Many people fall in the third level. Many people fall in the third level. But if you receive the ministration of the Holy Spirit completely, the conviction of judgment, he will convict the world of judgment. Why? Because the ruler of the world is judged. Do you understand the meaning now? That is the interpretation of the ministration of the Holy Spirit to the world. He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Amen. Of judgment, because when you become great, he will grip you with the fear of the Lord. Like Abraham, he knew Isaac is not my own. When you receive a big ministry, when you receive riches, when you receive honor by walking in the paths of God, remember those things you are receiving are not your own. Be gripped by the fear of God. Receive the conviction of judgment that I need to stay humble. I need to stay under the mighty hand of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding? Are we understanding? That is how the Holy Spirit ministers to us. Have you observed something? Have you observed something that the Holy Spirit will not give all of Jesus at once? But even as you walk with him, learning to obey him in everything and have fellowship with him and allow him to fully control your life, he will continue to release and increase his convictions. Are we understanding? He will continue to increase the convictions. Amen. So he will not take what is of Jesus completely and give it to you or everything. That is the meaning of the word I was teaching you last week, that what he will not have his own authority, but whatever he will hear, he will speak and show only those things. Amen. These are the three levels through which a Christian will go. The conviction of sin, the conviction of righteousness, the conviction of judgment. That is the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Are we understanding this word now? This is how the Holy Spirit ministers to the world. He goes around. The Spirit of God moves over the whole earth to convict people of sin. Anyone who received the conviction of sin has received salvation. And then that's not it. The Holy Spirit starts to work ahead on that person by leading him to the conviction of righteousness. When he is walking righteously and when God starts to use his life as a blessing for others, make him great, then he releases the conviction of judgment. That is the knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Wow, hallelujah. This is how the Holy Spirit ministers. Let us end here and let us pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for your Holy Spirit. People of God, come on the screen, please. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you. I want you to do this evaluation. You don't have to tell me, but you evaluate. Where are you standing? Whether you have got stuck in the conviction of sin and never received the conviction of righteousness, or whether you are in the first level or the second level or the third level of the ministration of the Holy Spirit towards your life and towards, you know, only those people will step into heaven who have received the third conviction completely, the three conviction, along the third conviction, which is the conviction of judgment. And when the Holy Spirit is able to take what is of Jesus and give it to you, that is the Holy Spirit, and then the seventh spirit is the spirit of Holy Spirit is the first one, the complete spirit. And then the spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. That is what he will take of Jesus and give it to you. And when you receive it fully and walk in it consistently, you are going to go into a city that is not of the world, where there will be no tears in your eyes. There will be no pain, no sorrow. Hallelujah. You know, as a ministry, as a servant of God, I am not interested much in anything of you, but to present you perfectly before the throne of God. Hallelujah. Yes, if you receive the convictions of the Holy Spirit, all three of them, and walk in it consistently, you are going to meet your Savior, and the Savior is going to appreciate you and give you the crown of life. Hallelujah. Father, we pray, Lord, that you prepare your people. It's so important in this time and age that the ministration of the Holy Spirit is towards your people. And I pray, Holy Spirit, minister to the world. Even as we pray for the nations, we pray for the salvation, we got to always partnership with the Holy Spirit. Spirit. Because our prayers alone, our speaking and preaching alone cannot save people. It is He who goes to the world and convicts them. And you know, God cannot save a person forcefully. God will only show it to him or show it to her. And when the person receives it, only then the salvation can manifest in their lives. Hallelujah. So let us not be so worried about why that person is not changing, why this person is not changing, and even people in your own family. Oh, let us not be so concerned, but let us continue to partnership with the Holy Spirit for those who have not yet been saved, for those who have not yet obeyed. Hallelujah. For those who are yet living in ignorance. Oh, let us partnership with Him. Hallelujah. And let us ask Him to go to those people. Some Christians are living a consecrated life, but they are in a church where they are not taught and convicted about righteousness. That's why they are not able to step into the second stage. But they want to, but they don't know. They are unaware. They don't know. And we pray that somewhere or the other, from some source, from someone, let the conviction of righteousness of the Holy Spirit, let that word reach to those people, that they will walk in the paths of God. Oh, there are some servants of God who have become great in their ministries, but they have not received the conviction of judgment, because there are no prophets in the body of Christ like Samuel who will rebuke pastors. We pray, like, let prophets arise and let them save those pastors from hell who are not obeying the conviction of judgment. Oh yes, Lord. Holy Spirit, have your ways in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, we want to thank you for this wonderful time once again. Hallelujah. The words that we have heard, I pray, you said, those who are only hearers of the word are not justified, but those who are the doers of the word are justified before the sight of God. Oh Lord, let every person who is receiving the word, I pray that they will obey the word, that they will put it to practice in Jesus' name, that they will not only be the hearers, but the doers of the word in Jesus' mighty name. Let us not be like people who see our face in the mirror and then leave and forget about how we look, as the book of James says that. But let us be people who feed, who ponder, who meditate on your word in order to receive from it and manifest it and walk in it in Jesus' mighty name, for us to grow in the convictions of the Holy Spirit. Father, we want to thank you. Thank you for every person who is here. Thank you for every family. We cover everyone with the blood of Jesus Christ. Lead them and guide them. Even the meetings coming tomorrow and day after tomorrow, I pray that your Holy Spirit will move mightily among your people in the name of Jesus Christ, convicting them, leading them, teaching them, transforming their lives in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you all glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us give a shout of amen, all of us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I will hand